This is Brother Billy. I'm saying good morning to each one of you and pray the Word of God's going to bless you today. If you got your Bible, turn with us. Turn with us to Joshua, the second chapter, is where we're going to begin reading. Joshua chapter 2 of His precious Word. As the group from Montgomery sings the song, "Come to me, all ye that are weak." I'm talking about Rush of Fools. What a great song this is. God's gave them. You know, it is the call of the hour where God is calling all men, women, boys, and girls unto Himself. It's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross where sinners could be saved, where people could be touched for the glory of God, where lives could be changed. We're going to talk about some today. We're going to see something here in Joshua chapter 2 where God changed the life of a little woman and her family. And you know, I think about when God changed my life. 1987 was the year. Well, here I was with a heart full of murder, full of sin, full of deceit, and full of all these things. And God came by and spoke, "Peace be still," to my old troubled heart. And God said through His Word, through His preached Word, I'll never forget the potbelly preacher that preached the Word of God that night on May the 3rd, was a Sunday night. When the Holy Ghost rung me up and called me unto Himself and spoke, "Peace be still," to a troubled heart of a 19-year-old young man. And God will do that for you today. He's the same God today. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." Malachi 3:6, He said, "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God said, the only reason I hadn't put the whole outfit in hell today is because I'm the Lord and I change not. People say, well, God would be better served if He'd change. If God changed, He'd consume us. He said, but I'm the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The only reason God hadn't abolished this whole fallen race and this whole sin-cursed world that He created, the only reason is because He's God and He's as good as His Word, and He does not change. Amen. As we get the music turned down here, look in Joshua chapter 2, warming up to you a little bit, about what the Lord may say to us today. I'm going to fill you in on where we are in the time frame here of Joshua 2. God has brought the children of Israel out of the wilderness, and that 40 years that they stayed there is over, and God has crossed them. They are going into the promised land, Canaan land, and they're going to take the inheritance God gave them. And they do that under the leadership of Joshua. Now, as they're about to go, they cross the River Jordan, and we know that they all crossed over on dry ground. And the reason they done that is not because there was a drought and no water in the river. The reason they done that was because God heaped up the Jordan, and the Jordan, like the Red Sea, was congealed. That's where we get our word jello. And so God takes the River Jordan, like He did the Red Sea, and He congealed it, thank God, and He caused it to stand as a heap. And so God literally made jello out of the River Jordan, just as He did the Red Sea, and those children of Israel crossed over. Now think about this. When they come across, now you, those of you that fish or swim, or you just like the river, you like to be out there, you know that there's no such thing as a river bottom that's not muddy. That's impossible to find. But the Word of God said that when the Levites stepped into the River Jordan, they all crossed over on dry ground. You know what that means? There was no mud in their sandals. There was no mud in their flip-flops, if you will. There was no mud between their toes. They weren't up to their calves in silt. No, sir. They crossed over, just like the Word of God said, on dry ground. What a miracle of God. Now, as they come in to take Jericho, Jericho is that great walled city, and they're going to take it because, of course, the people of Jericho see them as intruders, and no doubt they conquered the land, and they took the land just like God said. People sometimes say, well, preacher, I didn't think God was a God of violence. He was very violent. He said that he is a man of war. God is a man of war. God understands war. God realizes war. And he told his people to go and take the land. And that's exactly what they done. Now, I'm going to tell you, brother, God's not politically correct. And we would be better served if we would get out of the politically correct business too. Had God been politically correct, you know what kind of people he would have had? He would have had no people. He would have had no one. Because the children of Israel has fought for their survival all the life of their history. In Egypt, they fought for their survival. In the land of Moab and Ammon, that's why God put a curse on these people. They wouldn't receive them. They wouldn't let their stock water. They wouldn't let them come across their land. And God remembered Moab, and he remembered Ammon, and he dealt with them accordingly. And so as God leads them into all of these things, as God leads them, what we find is he protects them, and he empowers them. And so they fought the Philistine, and they fought the Canaanite. And so they're about to take, they're here to take the city of Jericho. And so Joshua said, go view the land, even Jericho, chapter 2, verse 1. And he sent them out secretly. I'm going to tell you, it's very important that we don't put everything we do on the front page news. It's important as a country, as a people. It's important as individuals that we don't broadcast all of our business, that we're discreet. And so here, what did he say? Go secretly and spy up the land. Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodge there. Now watch. So the king of Jericho was told that the spies have come into the land. And so he sent men out to go fetch them. And so bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men, verse 4, and hid them, and said thus, there they came unto me, men unto me, but I wist not. That word means I knew. I knew not whence they were. And so what does she do? She lied to the king, and she told him, she said, yeah, they came here, but I don't know where they are. Well, she didn't know where they were because she hid them. And so when she hid them, she's doing God a service. She's protected them. She's watched out for them. And so here, later on, you're going to find, over the ninth verse, she told those men, she said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And so they understood this woman. The word of God said she was a harlot woman. She was a whore. She sold her body. She prostituted herself out. And here she has the wisdom and the understanding and the faith of God. That's right. She believed God was right. She believed God was going to do it. She told him, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. And she didn't understand. Maybe she had no theology. Maybe she never went to Sunday school. You said, preacher, I've never been to Sunday school. I've never been to church. I've never been. Well, I hadn't either till I went my first time. And nobody else has either till they went the first time. This woman understood nothing about faith until God imparted it into her old dark heart. And when God imparted faith, you know what happened? She believed. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something over the New Testament. That's really going to help you understand what salvation is. This woman, you said, preacher, I'm open to God's word. That means I have an ear to hear it. I have an ear to receive it. And she did too. And she received them. And she hid them. Now watch. As you go down a little bit, you'll see this. Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you. She's talking to the spies. And swear unto me by the Lord, that since I've showed you kindness, that you'll also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save. I like that, brother. Right there, God uses the word save. That ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have. I will tell you, thank God she was claiming it. She was bargaining for it. She wasn't going to turn loose of the horns of the altar. She was asking them men. She said, I've hid you. I've protected you. I know God's going to do it. Now, I need something from you. I'm going to tell you, sir, we can bring our petitions to the Lord. We can cry out just as she begged those men to save her and her family. We can ask Christ. We can ask God in Jesus' name to save us. That's what we need. We need to be saved. We need to be delivered. This is what she's praying for. She's praying for a physical deliverance. That when those people come and take her city and burn it with fire, and all those walls fall flat. That's right. The great walls of Jericho, when they blew the trumpet of God on the seventh day, they marched around the city seven times. God said, blow the trumpet, and all the people are going to shout with a great shout, and the walls fell flat. Now the little children sing the songs about the walls of Jericho. One of the greatest stories in God's word is how God conquered Jericho, and she understood this was going to happen. This is her hometown. She lives in a high-rise apartment on the outside of the wall, and so here she is, the town whore, harlot, if you will, the woman of ill repute. I'm going to tell you, God saves all mankind, women, boys, and girls. He saves the drunkard. He saves the dopehead. God saves the harlot. God saves those that are crooked and corrupt. God saves those people like me. God saves those that have sin-infested hearts. And you know who has sin-infested hearts? All mankind. For all have sinned, Romans 3:10 said, and come short of the glory of God. And so God said, yea, let God be true, Romans 3:4, but every man a liar. So you know what we see? That there's none righteous, no, not one. We point out that this woman was a little harlot woman, but she was no worse than you and I. She was a sinner that needed a Savior, and God saved her by His great grace. That's the same way every person gets saved, if they get saved. And so watch now. Universal salvation is not so. I know people that preach universal salvation. Charles Finney fought the universalists back in the 1800s. He knew people that taught universalism, but all mankind will not be saved. Everybody's not going to heaven. Everybody has to come by the way of the cross. They have to receive Christ. They have to pray like this little lady prayed when she said that ye will save alive and deliver our lives from death. You know what happens when God saves a sinner? He delivers us from an eternal death. That's right, not a physical death. We may all die the physical death. If Jesus tarries, we will die the physical death. I promise you that every one of you that's able to hear the sound of this broadcast today, in 120 years, outside of a miracle of God, you will not be here if Christ tarries. If Christ tarries, you will go the way of the grave. And so what we see is, she prayed that God would save them. You know what we ought to pray? Preacher, what should I pray? I don't know what to pray. Pray that God will save you, eternally save you from a devil's hell, from the damnable sins that we've committed, from the things that we've offended God with. Save us and forgive us. So watch now in verse 15. Let's get back to the story. In verse 15, she let him down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, and hide yourself 3 days. Listen to the wisdom of this woman. That's right, this was a woman that sold herself for money. But here we find it. You know what we find? We find that she has wisdom that only God could give. And she has faith that only Christ could impart. And so the men said unto her, we we will be blameless of this thine oath. And behold, when we come into the land, they said, take this line of scarlet thread, and put this scarlet thread, a rope, this scarlet thread across the window. And when we come, we're coming back to this high-rise apartment right here on the wall. And when we see that scarlet thread, that rope, but I'm going to tell you, God took the thread and he made it a cord of hope. Thank God. You'll see it over into verse 21. And she said, so be it. And she sent them away and they departed and she bound. Watch now. You want to talk about faith, brother? Faith is putting God's plan into action. Faith is believing that we pray for. Watch now. She bound the scarlet line. That's right. The same rope that she let them down the wall with. That same rope is the same rope that she put across the window. And the word said she bound the scarlet line in the window. It had meaning, sir. I'm going to tell you, there's something about the scarlet robe of the Lord Jesus Christ. It had meaning of a crucified Savior. It had meaning of Christ on the cross, shedding his precious blood. Not for his sin. He never knew sin. But thank God he became sin for you and I. And so that scarlet robe that Jesus wore, thank God, it was representative of the kingship that God gave him. And he's made him both Lord and Christ. And so no wonder it was a scarlet rope that she put across the window. So the two men returned and they told Joshua about it. And here they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now fast forward a little bit, over unto the time they're about to go into the land in the sixth chapter. In the sixth chapter, they're going to take the land, and here Joshua has called those two spies out. And he said, fellows, I want you to go. I'm going to tell you, God's as good as his word. And so when those men gave their word to the woman, they went to Joshua and told Joshua exactly what happened. And when they told Joshua what happened, Joshua's as good as his word. And we're going to see this into verse number 17. All the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. And only, watch now, you want to know the only one that came out of that entire city? Only Rahab the harlot shall live. Now Joshua acknowledged her as a harlot. Thank God when we understand that we're sinners. I would imagine that little woman would have told you she was a harlot before God saved her. You know what? We were all harlots in our worship. We worshiped other gods. We were idolaters. We were adulterers. We didn't worship the true and living God. And spiritually speaking, we're all harlots before God saved us. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. She, and watch now, you got to get this, brother. You said, preacher, I don't want my children to go to hell. Well, you ought to pray over them. You ought to live for God in front of them. You ought to submit yourself to Christ. You ought to surrender to the Lord Jesus, because the example that you set before them may determine where they spend eternity. I'm going to tell you, Rahab's decision to hide those spies, to believe God, to act upon his word, to put that scarlet rope across the window, all of those things determine the destiny of her children and her children's children. And I'm going to show you this. I'm going to tell is even deeper than that, and we're going to get into that and see it in God's word in just a moment. But watch now, Rahab the harlot, the word said, she and her house, all that are with her in the house shall live. Thank God, if we look to Christ, we can live. Amen. I'm talking about living eternally. We can eternally live together. You and your loved ones that are saved, your friends that are saved, will spend eternity together. And that's what God was saying here. Joshua said, her and all her house. Thank God, salvation is household. And we find it in the Philippian jailer. God saved him, and he saved all his house. And so see it now. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. And so here Joshua's warning them. And he said to the spies, the two men, verse 22, that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And Joshua said, you gave her your word, now keep your word. Go and bring her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. Bring them out, all her kindred. Thank God, this is a blessing to me now. Why? Because I don't want to just go to heaven. I want my young'uns and grand'uns to go to heaven. I want the people that I get opportunity to affect to go to heaven. And that's what God's saying here. Bring them. And the word said they brought out all her kindred, and they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, and the silver, the gold, and the vessels of brass and iron, they put them into the treasury of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab. Now you got to get this, verse number 25, Joshua 6:25, if you want to see it for yourself. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. I love the fact that God never quit calling her a harlot. Now he got her out of the harlotry business, but I'm telling you, brother, she was known. You know what is encouraging to me? That God still saves sinners. That God still saves murderers. God still saves rapists. I go into the prison and preach this. Matter of fact, preached this a couple weeks ago. God's in the business of saving bad people. And you know what happened? The law always blessed the good. But thank God, grace saves the bad. And so a little woman like Rahab could be saved. And an old sinner like Billy Watson could be saved, who was willing to do terrible things. I'm talking about awful things that I'm glad God kept me from. Why? Because I would have the blood of innocence on my hands had I followed through with that was in my wicked heart to do. And so God does save sinners, and God does deliver people. And so Rahab the harlot, why? Because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent. And so they brought her out. Now fast forward over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Our time will get away. There's so much good preaching right here. I pray God give you a heart for preaching. I love preaching. I love to see what God's word says that speaks hope to a sinner's heart. That's what preaching is. Jesus chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know why? Because preaching, when it's preached right and it's preached straight, God can use it to open the old rebellious heart of the sinner and conquer that heart and break that heart, and mold that heart, and cause that heart to repent. I love what the word said in Mark 6:12. They went out and preached that men should repent. You know what Mark 1:15 said? Jesus said, or Mark the writer said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God's at hand. It was Jesus. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent and believe. People said, preacher, I don't know what salvation is. Do I sign something, say something? What do I have to do to believe? What must I do? That's what Acts 16:30 said. What must I do? That jailer, that old Philippian jailer, he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all thine heart, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. So what do I do to believe? Exactly what Christ said. Repent and believe the gospel. The time's fulfilled. The kingdom of God's at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You know why the woman got saved? She believed the gospel. She believed what God said. And this is what Hebrews 11 is talking about. Hebrews 11 is the Faith Hall of Fame. And in the Faith Hall of Fame, we have Moses, and we have all the great men. We have the Abrahams, and we have the Josephs, and the Jacobs, and the Isaacs, and all of these great patriarchs right there in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also see somebody, thank God, that is also in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to blow your socks off. But I'm going to tell you, this right here is going to curl your mustache if you ever get a hold of this. In verse number 30, by faith the walls of Jericho, we just talked about them, they fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. I told you they marched 7 times around that city, and that 7th day they marched 7 times. So 7 days, once a day, for 6 days. The seventh time, they marched 7 days. And what happened? God dropped the walls. You said, preacher, America's too great to fall. God could drop this country and never have to draw a deep breath. God doesn't even have to speak the word. All God has to do is just cause it to happen. God never has to get up off of his throne. God never has to employ one soldier. He's God. He said, I'm the Lord, and I change not. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein, Psalm 24:3. And so we see it right here. They fell flat. By faith, the harlot Rahab. See, you don't even have to be good verbally to preach. And so you can get your words mixed up and go back and fix them. You can do something for God. I'm going to tell you, encourage you, Christian, you can be faithful to God and do something for God. And God has something for you to do. And you need to find out what that is, be doing it. And so whatever it is, if it's mowing, if it's dusting, if it's vacuuming, if it's preaching or feeding the hungry, you need to find out what that is. God's got something for you to do. Now see this. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Who perished, preacher? Everybody that didn't believe. And you know who that was? That was everybody in the city of Jericho except her and her family. And her loved ones, and those she cared for, and those she looked out for, God listed them out, her mother and her father and her people, and they didn't perish because of the faith of Rahab. By faith, Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You know what happened? Faith saved her. How did she get saved? She believed God. And she believed what those spies said. And she obeyed God when he put something on her heart to do. And by faith, she was saved. Now I'm going to show you something else about this. You got to see this back in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we find the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. And so Jesus, what's going on here? Jesus is being listed out how things happen. This is chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Matthew. And I'm going to read just the important things because there's a lot of names here that don't mean anything to us. But verse 1 said it's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begot Isaac. That means he birthed them. He was his father. And Isaac begat. You know, a lot of times people get hung up in the begats. And they said, preacher, I started out reading the Bible, but you know, I saw where he begat him and he begat him and he and I got lost in all them begats. Well, don't worry about the begats. That just means they was a daddy. And so nowadays they'd say, who's your daddy? Well, he was the daddy. And so Abraham was Isaac's daddy. That's all it means. And Isaac begot him. And so go on down now, and we're going to see something here in the fifth verse. And Salmon begot Booz. Now the word, that's not booze like, you know, the hooch you used to get down at Arnold's beer joint. That's not that kind of booze. No, no, no. This is Boaz. Salmon begot Boaz. Verse number 5. And so as he begot Boaz of Rahab. Now watch. Rahab is the mother of Boaz, who begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. See this now. This is the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. We know that David was in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. That's why they refer to Jesus as the son of David. But I'm going to tell you, there's somebody else back there we have to find. We have to see. Brother, it's Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot, remember, she was delivered and she was received into those tribes of Israel. And she was married into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was the fifth generation. She was David's great, great grandma. Oh yeah, it's right there in God's word. And brother, she was one of the ancestors. God took this harlotress woman that he saved by his marvelous grace. And you know what he done? He put her right there in the ancestry, I'm going to tell you, if you went to ancestry.com back in Jesus' day, he would have found Rahab right there as one of the great grandmas of the Lord Jesus Christ. That harlotess woman that God put his hand on, spoke faith into her heart, and gloriously saved her. What a blessing. And there she was, the great grandma of King David, and God used her mightily. Why come? Because Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believed not. You know why she didn't perish? Because God gloriously saved her. And because God gloriously saved her, she and all of her household was saved. That's right, saved by the marvelous grace of God. And so we see it here in His Word that you, sir, can be saved. I can be saved. And how does God do that? He does it by faith. He always does it by faith. God speaks it by faith. God says it so by faith. And you can be saved by faith. And God wants to save you, and He will save you if you'll ask Him today. Father, take Your word. Speak it, Lord, I pray, to hearts. God, let us learn from this harlotress woman that God honors faith and faith alone. Do it today. Speak to every life. We'll give You praise for it. In Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen and amen.